Let's begin a word of prayer first. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can be in your house. We pray you bring the people quickly so that they can learn and understand your word even better. Lord, we thank you for the week that you have led us through. We thank you for the place you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your strength. We know without you we can do nothing. And so right now, as we come to you humbly, we pray that you teach us your word, that we'll be able to understand your word, Lord, in a way that will benefit our spiritual life, most of all in the way that you want us to understand. So, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Let's say it together. Okay, say it together. I'm glad you're trying. So you really want to go. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. That's a very important passage for us. Prophet Isaiah is looking at all the religious leaders and telling them, go to the word of God. If they don't speak according to the thinking of the word of God, it is because there is no light in them. Okay, that means they don't have the light of God in them. So the philosophies of this world needs to be examined by God's word. And so if it doesn't line up with God's word, then there is no light. It's darkness. Okay? And we follow it, we will be in darkness too. Okay? Now, what we're going to do is, we are just going to divide in what we call learning groups. Okay? We're going to put ourselves in groups. All right? Maybe for now, you all can be one group. Okay? Then for here, 2, 4, 6, you all can be actually two groups. Okay? So, first three, then Jarrell, you move back, okay? And then, of course, Lydia at the back, you and Sir Sharon, okay? Over time, what I want to do is actually put in small learning groups where we can actually discuss some of the things, all right? So what I want you to do is actually look at what does the following passages mean, okay? So just four passages within the group that you all will discuss. Okay, let's see. Maybe each one take one, all right? Maybe Brother Jun, you can take Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, your group, okay? Then Joanna, Catherine, Jojoy, you take Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, and then Jaira, Brother Joshua, and Sister Naida, you take Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, 17, and then if Lydia, Sharon, and maybe Zixian at the back, you can join them, okay, just as a group. Then you take Matthew chapter 18, verse 35, okay? Then after that, you can explain, just look through. There are three things that I'd like you to do as you're going through the verse, okay? Number one, look at any meaning of the words you don't know. Okay? Number two, what is the context of the verse, passage, verse? And number three, read it literally. Okay, interpret literally. Okay? Just as three. Okay? Okay? Okay, we take about 5 minutes. I think 5 minutes should be okay. So come together to discuss and all that. Okay, look at the verse, and then after that, if you have time, just read through the context, just to understand why was Jesus saying that, and so on. Okay, Ken, are you ready? Okay, maybe Brother June, you want to. So what does the verse mean? After you. Okay. Okay, referring to the birth of Christ, yes. Yep, talking to Joseph. Okay. Okay. Okay, good. Any question? Any things to add to the verse to understand it a bit better? Literally in the context? Okay, you read the verse, she shall bring forth a son. Who's a she? Mary, right? Bring forth a son, right? Okay. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, alright? What's the meaning of Jesus? Sorry? Savior, okay. Jesus is Old Testament, Joshua. Jehovah is salvation. Okay? That enriches a little bit. Okay, he shall call his name. Jehovah is salvation. All right? Sorry? Emmanuel is... What's the meaning of Emmanuel? Okay? What's the meaning of Emmanuel? Okay, Emmanuel is God with us, right? Okay, there's one name of Jesus, but what does it mean of Jesus? Jesus is salvation, okay? All right? Because then the next verse makes sense. For he shall save his people from their sins. The question is, just now Brother Jun mentioned he shall save the people from their sins. The Bible didn't say he shall save the people from their sins. The Bible said he shall save his people from their sins. So what does the Bible mean? Who's the his people? It's referring to the Jewish people. Remember, Jesus is a Jewish Messiah. Every word is important because what do you mean by his people? Jesus came unto his own, referring to the Jews. Okay? Okay, so when you interpret scripture, you actually have to look at this. It's not the people, it's his people. Alright? Okay, that comes up with a lot of theological questions that people have. But I just want you, we're just going through the interpretation of passages so we understand it in context. Alright? To understand a little bit more, we probably have to go into theology and all that, but I just want us to be able to at least read it for ourselves so that it generates questions that you won't find answers from God, okay? And explain to you, Jesus is a Jewish Messiah because it's promised to the Jews. When the Jews rejected Christ, that's when God opened up salvation to the Gentiles, all right? But interestingly, as I say that, God's salvation is already to the Gentiles from the beginning of time, all right? Because Ruth... Okay, who is a Moabitess? Rahab, who is a... Remember, Rahab is a... Sorry? From Canaan. Okay, he's not even a Jew. She trusted Christ too. Okay, so... Questions? Okay, Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, the next verse. The ladies' group. Matthew 12, 30. Gangganlai, come. Matthew 12, verse 30. Read the verse first, then what it means. Okay. Okay, there's only two sides. Okay. Okay. Okay, you all hear that? Okay, the context is the Pharisees were actually denouncing Jesus. And now Jesus just cast out devils from one guy. Okay, and the Pharisees said, now he casts us out by Beelzebub. In other words, he, with the power of the devil, cast out the devil. And Jesus said that's not possible. Okay? Because how can Satan cast out Satan? He's not going to fight against himself. That's what he's saying. All right? So that's the context. Then coming down to the verse, Matthew 12, 30, he that's not with me is against me. So Jesus highlighting the fact that there are two opposing sides in the spiritual life. Okay? If you're not for me, you're against me. There's no middle ground. Okay, there's no middle ground. It's either you're for Christ or you're against Christ. Okay? But then next, he that gathereth, what does it mean that he that gathereth not with me scattereth? Okay? And that's interesting because it's a he that's not for me is against me. That's what's true. If you're not for me, you're against me, right? But Jesus says, he that gathereth not with me. What do you mean by gathering with me? Sorry? Doing the things that support his side. You are actually scattering. Okay, that's the meaning of the verse. You know what's the tremendous implication of that as Christians? If you understand that passage, you say, Lord, if I'm not doing something that supports your word, I'm doing something that's scattering your word. That's what Jesus means. Okay? Okay, let's move on. Matthew chapter 16. Any questions first? Any questions? Yes. Sorry. What does the Bible say? What's the context? Context is not about church. The context is about Jesus. It must be very, very clear. Context is about Jesus. As a church member, is it possible to do things that is against God's work? Yes. Does that make sense? Okay, so we have to be very clear in the context. The key thing is, we don't go, using this passage, the only thing that Jesus mentioned is, if we don't do things that support his work and stand on his side, we're standing on the opposite side. Basically, what Jesus is talking against is the Pharisees. If you're not going to support what I'm going to do to cast out this person from, you're actually on the devil's side. He was actually denouncing the Pharisees. Okay? So for the answer to that question, there are a lot of other things to consider, but it's not the purview of this verse. Okay? All right? Any questions? Okay, let's move on. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 and 17. Now, Brother Joshua's group. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 and 17. Yeah, okay. What else? What else? More. There's a lot of words there. And Simon Peter answered and said, what are some words you don't understand there? Christ? What does Christ mean? Christ means the Messiah. Okay? Alright, what else? The Son of the Living God. What else? What does Simon Bar Jonah mean? Yeah, son of. Simon, son of Jonah. Bar, like, kind of like Siva Lingam, S-O, something, Indian, you know. Indian, the S-O. The son of. Okay, in the Malay also have bin or binte, right? Simon bar Jonah. Okay, so that means Simon, son of Jonas. Okay, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. What else about the verse you can tell us? What else about the verse you can tell us? You are the Messiah. Okay, that's why he said you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the living God. What does that tell you? He's divine, okay? What else? And Jesus answered, what do you learn from Jesus' answer to Simon Peter? Look at the verse. Sorry? He is blessed. Yes. Okay, do you notice it's a very powerful passage? If you are saved, flesh and blood did not reveal to you. Do you know what a blessing that is? Jesus told Peter, the reason why you can understand this, he says, flesh and blood didn't show you, but my Father which is in heaven. If you are a Christian, you are so blessed that the God in heaven shows you who Jesus is, the Messiah. Does that make sense? Make sense? Any questions? All right, go. One more. Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. The ladies group at the back. Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. What is the context? Okay. The king, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So basically, a few things. So likewise. So when you say likewise, what does it mean? Likewise, me in the same way, right? The word likewise, so in other words, you actually have to go back and find out what is the same way. So what Sister Jamie mentioned before that, God says God was very angry with the unforgiving servant, and God says, you asked me to forgive you the millions of dollars and I forgive you. This guy just owe you a few hundred dollars and you are demanding that he pay. All right? God was angry because I forgave you, but you never forgave him. So what did God do? This guy, throw him in prison until he pay back everything. That was the context. And then in verse 35, in the same way shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If you apply that, look at the verse. If you don't forgive how God forgave, God is going to require us to pay back our sins. All right? Now, I want to be clear. This is a parable. But God does say there are consequences. Basically, then we have to think through, does that mean that God require me to pay for all my sins? That's a logical next question, right? The answer is? No. If you're a Christian, no. Why? Because it already has been paid for at the cross. So what does God mean? So the next, okay. So from the Bible, we know, as a Christian, we will never pay back, we will never need to pay for our sins anymore. And we need to thank God for that, because Jesus paid for that. So what does God mean that he will require us to pay back? The only thing you can actually deduce from this particular passage is there are consequences for you not forgiving someone. Whatever that is. I can be very angry. I know one person who had died because he was so angry with so many people. Okay, he was angry with his in-laws, followed by angry with the doctors because she contracted cancer, and then later on, she was angry with the husband, everything else, and she died of cancer. She died. Eaten up by unforgiveness. Okay? So, here the verse, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from, where should we forgive? Look at the verse. Where should we forgive? From your hearts. Now, was God don't want a technical forgiveness? You don't have a technical. Sorry, paise, you know, that kind of. God doesn't want that. Forgiveness must be from the heart, according to the Bible. If you from your hearts forgive not everyone, his brother, the trespasser. In other words, anything that anyone did against you, God will require us to go through the consequences if we choose not to forgive from our hearts as a Christian. Okay? Any questions with that? Any questions? I hope we can get a better sense of what I'm trying to do. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing this until we get a sense of what the scriptures. And we need to go through the whole passage, okay? Like just now in Matthew chapter 16 and 17. First part, but you didn't touch the second part. You need to go through it, think through. And then you, the moment you think through, you say, God has so much truth. Can you imagine? Okay, just from Matthew 18:35, okay? I'm just going to ask a question you don't have to answer. Based on this truth, there's someone on earth that you cannot forgive. You know what? That's a conviction already. Because the truth, when God actually teaches us the truth, we would then have to reflect, Lord, is there someone on planet earth that I really cannot stand and I will not forgive? God says, if you do that, I'm going to require you to go through some consequences until you learn to forgive. You know, that's how you need to do your Bible reading. As you read the Bible, you say, hey God, that's what you said. Then I need to think, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I really hated my neighbor who did this to me or whatever. And Lord, I'm sorry. I should have just forgiven the same way you forgave me. And Lord, help me to forgive. And then you actually do things consistent with what you've learned from the truth. Does that make sense? Okay. Any questions? Yes, sir. There are what? A couple? Okay. Okay. So how? What do you think? Why don't you think so? Because it's important, because we probably may face situations. Any thoughts on that? True. Okay. Any other thoughts? Yes, sir. Wait, let's finish one question first. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Let Jesus settle this for us. Because I know when it comes to these kind of things, we talk about couple and all that kind of thing, it's very, very, it can be very emotional. And that's where we need to put out and say, Lord, I'm not going to allow my emotions to take over. Your word tell me what to do. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 14 and 15. Let me just read, and then you interpret it for me, okay? For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father shall also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What does Jesus say? Okay. Actually, forgiveness is more than give and take. It's actually. Okay. Can I say this? Maybe I just, as pastor, I just tell you what the Bible teach. I know in that situation, the couple, are they married? I don't know. Are they married? Okay. So, in this situation, there's a lot more involved. Okay. This one will take a whole 3-hour lesson. Okay, because you got to go through every piece of that. Okay, number one. Okay, in this kind of situations, there will always be hurts. There will always be hurts. Okay? When we deal with hurts, there are two ways of dealing with it. Allow the doctor to help, or I control it myself. Okay? Doctor says you must go for surgery. Self say, I don't want to go through surgery. Then you have a choice. If I choose to let the doctor take control and surgery or whatever, I need to submit myself to what the doctor says, right? But if I choose to go through it myself, then I need to bear my own consequences. And there are consequences. Okay? Coming to this situation, hurts is something always directed to self. If someone hurts me, whatever that's happened, okay, the hurt will always be to the person, okay? As a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, number one, would you agree with me that for a disciple of Christ, forgiveness is actually a hallmark of a Christian? Okay? Which means that the first principle from the Bible Jesus taught is that we are to forgive from the heart. Would you agree with me? I mean, you can't disagree because this is the Bible. It's not with me. It's actually the Bible says it. Okay? Okay, so let's say, God, I really forgive. But then there's another part. I'm so hurt and all that. See, when you actually forgive, then you need to understand what forgiveness means. Forgiveness is actually writing off the debt that the person did against you. In other words, you consider what he's done to you as nothing. Humanly, we cannot because of pride, because of our own selfishness, because we think we deserve better. But when you put yourself in the shoes of Christ, of all the things that people did to him, he still said, Father, forgive us. The pattern of forgiveness is not, I forgive, but get out of my life. You realize that when you do that, who's in charge? Who's calling the shots? I forgive you, but get out of my life. You want to feel that you've done the right thing, but you're not prepared to go all the way. Who's in charge? Me. Okay? But when do you realize when Jesus actually forgave, whether Peter came back to him or not, he's not going to force Peter, but he's still going to reach out in love. Even when Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, it's about 5 to 6 times Jesus continuously reached out to him in different ways. Okay? I know when you ask that question, it's actually a very emotional thing. I know some of you may have gone through certain hurts that no one knows about. But when we want to be like Jesus, we need to forgive without reservation, to treat that as if that person have never sinned. Well, Brother Johnny, I can't do that. That's exactly the point. We need Christ. We need to spend time in prayer, in the word, in tears, even if you, to the point, Lord, it's not fair. Yes, it's not. When Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't fair. He didn't do anything wrong, and yet people killed him. Jesus says, if you choose to follow me, that's the footstep. That is his way. We may not fully understand everything. And really, let me ask you, does God understand everything that you've gone through? In fact, God not only knew what you went through, he knew exactly the degree of pain. But you know what? At the end of the day, the Holy Spirit still teaches us, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Okay, we may be touching along on raw nerves now, I know, but I mean, I use this verse to show you that even in this, you can actually bring out things. See, it's God's word. And we need to actually come to a place as a disciple of Christ to say, Lord, this person really did me bad. Can you imagine if someone killed your son? That's bad. Will you forgive that person? It's a choice. It's a choice. You know, God doesn't force us to forgive. He commands us to forgive. You know why? Because he knows that if you don't forgive, you will be eaten up by your own bitterness. And you will have not an abundant life that he promised you. However, if you choose to forgive, God sets your heart free. And you can actually help someone else who may have their problems. Okay? We may be very, and I say again, experiences is something that some of us have with this regards to this. I've worked with people who really say, God, how in the world can I forgive this person? So to answer Brother Alden's question, I was going to teach on forgiveness because I think all of us need it. There are processes of forgiveness. Okay, I'll just quickly go through this in a nutshell. Number one, the decision to say, you hurt me, I let you go free. I let you go free. I don't charge you anything, and whatever you have done to me, that's okay. It's over. I'm willing to bear it. Okay? I don't charge you. Okay? Number one. Number two, moving forward, I may struggle a bit, but I'm willing to face up to you with a decision that when I look at you, I'm not going to bring up whatever I've let you go. Okay? Number three, I'm going to be completely reconciled to you. That's a Bible doctrine of forgiveness. A lot of churches, people are saying, I can forgive, but get out of my life. That is not Bible forgiveness. When Jesus, you know the wonderful thing about, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis chapter 3, God had no choice but to kick them out because of sin. Do you know what happens in Revelation 21, the last second chapter? Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Meaning what? God dwells with the very sinners that killed him. Do you know how to reconcile? Two things. For the person to reconcile. Okay, if you are the hurt person, two things you need, Christ and his grace. There is no way you can forgive without that. People go through life with immense hurts because they don't allow God's grace. And for us as a church, we need to support these people. It's not easy. We need to understand it's not easy. Life experiences can give us tremendous tragedies. Can you imagine the 59 people who were killed in tragedy? My son always looks at my pronunciation. You know the 59 people that were killed in Las Vegas? I mean, this guy just opened fire. You look at a person, you probably punch in the face if you kill your dad or your mom or your daughter, right? But God says, God, see, if God teaches us what is normal, then he's not God. God wants us to rise above what humans can do, but not with our help, with God's help. If you are struggling with that forgiveness, maybe in your heart, I say, God, I really forgive, but God, I cannot forget. No, you're not going to forget. But you can choose not to bring it up again. I think I mentioned this before. Let's say if Gideon offended me, or I offended him, but then 2 days later, I say, hey, Pastor, let's go for basketball. Oh, I just offended him. I say, no, what? Nothing. It could be in his heart he's struggling, but he just said, nah, I want to be friends with Pastor because I just want to put this, I want to move forward and learn to grow and learn to love. Think about that. What can you actually do if you bring up again? The Bible says, hatred stirs up strife. You bring up a thing again and again, you're basically trying to cause division again and again. And you know what you're doing? You're digging into your wound. You know that, have you spoken to people who are very bitter? All they do is bring up the past. You know what they're doing? Dig out the wound again and again. You know what God do? Put it under the blood. Let Jesus wash away. And sometimes, in some situations, people are being bashed and all that kind of thing. But you know what? With Christ, it's possible to forgive. Any thoughts, any questions? Okay, depends on what? Depends on what? Okay, let's say if it's personal. Okay. That can keep a lot of things. Rape, for example. Robbery, being punched in the face. Okay, it's really hard. When a person breaks the law, like, for example, rape. Okay, rape, for example. It's very hard for a girl to actually forgive someone who's raped you. Okay, I mean, just open on this. Okay? But you know what? God still says forgive. Okay? But I'm going to call the police on you. Because you broke the law, I'm going to prevent you from doing it to someone else. Police are going to get you. Okay? God does give us biblically sanctioned ways of dealing with things. Okay? Yeah, biblically sanctioned ways of dealing with things. And we need to search the scriptures for those. Okay? I don't want to underestimate the pain people feel when people hurt you. But I think maybe the Lord just wants us to deal with this as a whole, that whatever that's mentioned in Matthew 13, the word of God just brings out all these things. We need to learn to forgive. And remember, when Jesus forgave us, it was his decision. And no one's going to change that. And say, if you come to me, I'm going to forgive you and to what? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know what that means? It's as if you didn't do anything. Well, that's painful. Okay? That's one. Number two, you must be willing to see that person again. Okay? I was going to go through Tapas, and when you look at the life of Joseph, how he forgave his brother, he struggled like crazy. Okay, but finally, the Bible says, I love that verse, Joseph told his brothers who sold him into slavery, come near to me. You know what I mean? Come to me. To him, it's a done deal. I've forgiven you. You are my brothers. I'm going to take care of you. I don't care what you have done to me. I love you. But you know the most important thing in forgiveness? What does God want us to learn in the situation? Because for Joseph, the reason why he could forgive was, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. If you cannot see God's plan in your pain, you will always have unforgiveness. Does that make sense? Any questions, any thoughts? Like I say, I don't want to underestimate the pain people feel. It's real. It's human experience. We cannot minus that. But yet, if we are Christians, Jesus gives us a different way of living, and he teaches us to forgive from the heart. Because you know what? That's where the heart is broken, right? So you got to deal with that thing that is broken because of your pain, and you've got to put it together with the grace of Christ, and then you can forgive and move on with your life. A person who cannot forgive can't move on. Because you always limp in your Christian life. Any questions? Okay, we can discuss this more privately if you need to, if there's really... I believe, to be honest, as a pastor, and I don't know why I'm going through this, but I think it's important, whatever that you have brought up actually tell me that in our church, there are people who have things in their hearts that really need God to deal with. I can't deal with it unless we sit through, pray, understand, look at the Bible, and say, God, you take the pain that I have. And I'm willing to follow you. The only way to get healed is to go to the surgeon who knows what to do. If we come up with our own strategies, many times we get angry, we get frustrated, we get whatever. Okay? God loves us. He doesn't want us to go through the frustration of the pain. Okay? Any questions? Any questions? Any questions? Does that help? Does it help? How do we counsel someone like that, just very quickly, practically? You can't push a person, but you must be brotherly, meaning that you have to tell this person God still requires you to forgive because that's the best thing for you. It's the best thing for you. Okay? And there's a lot of emotions in between. Sometimes you just have to back off and don't get involved in the emotions and say, look, I'm here to help you back to God. But you have to go to God to deal with your emotions and let God settle that. Based on His word, not based on what you think. Okay? Any questions? Does it help? I hope it does. You know, the way to help is not what I say. The way to help is to pray and ask God, God, I need your grace. The disciples also had this problem. Let's look at Luke 17. I'll just share with you before I just quickly go on to maybe one thing. Luke 17. Okay, I'll just read now. Then you see what the disciples said. I'll read it as a whole so that you can hear what the disciples are feeling, okay? Verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day again, say, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. What was the response of the apostles? Lord, increase our faith. These are apostles who live in the presence of the Son of God. God, you need to teach us to increase our faith, to trust you, to forgive these kind of people. Basically, sorry. And I just keep, basically, I'm not changing. Is it sorry? The idea of change your mind means I just keep hitting him. Do you have people like that in your people just keep, and every time they just come back to you and say, sorry, basically, this guy is not repentant. You know what, Jesus? Later on, of course, the disciples then said, Lord, increase my faith. But if you read the rest of the parable, okay, I'll just finish this part so that we can just wrap it up properly. She says, Lord, increase our faith. And then in verse 6, Jesus says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. Okay, so the Lord said, okay, you want me to increase your faith? Can. You just need a little bit. But notice what he goes on. Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat. Now the verse simply means, which of you have a servant? When the servant is working very hard in the field, and then he come back, then the master says, hey, come, you work very hard, very good. Now, go and eat. Which of you will tell that to a servant, a slave? No. Because you're a slave. Okay? Now let's go on to verse 8. And will not rather say unto them, make ready, wherewith I may eat. I'm the master. So if you work very hard in the field already, very tired, sweaty, hungry, you go back to your master, the master will look at you and say, go and get ready my dinner. Why? Because you're the slave. Okay? And then, in verse 8, make ready therefore words, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, then afterward thou shalt eat. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I know not. In the context of Luke chapter 17, verse 1 to 10, what is Jesus teaching? What is Jesus teaching in the context? What's the first part? Forgiveness. Firstly, the apostles say increase our faith because it's not possible by human means. But what does Jesus say the next thing? He gave a parable of a servant doing what he was commanded. Forgiveness is a command from God. And we do it because, Lord, I can't forgive, but I'm just going to love you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to forgive this person who killed my mom. This is what Jesus is saying. Sometimes when we feel our faith is unable to obey God, do what God tells us to do from the heart, you know what you need to do? The first step is to do it as a servant of Christ. Forgive. Obey God. Because in verse 10, so in the same way, when ye shall have done all those things which ye are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Any questions? As you see how the Lord Jesus Christ deals with our life and the innermost parts of us. Sometimes it's very hard. I agree with you, it's a summer. It's not easy. So Jairus, it's not easy, he struggled. But you know, it's still a commandment of God. And God knows that forgiveness is the best way. Because literally what forgiveness does, the word forgive means you let the person go because of grace. That's in the Greek. In other words, you owe me $1 million, I struck it out. You don't have to pay me anymore. That's what forgiveness is. Okay? You know what? Some of us want $1 million back. And that's why it makes it hard. Okay. When you can look the person in the eye and have coffee with him and there's nothing in your heart that comes out that you still want to deal with him. It's going to be hard. Do you know what I'm saying? I can look you in the eye and say, let's have coffee, let's have lunch, and nothing of the past that I've brought, that you've done to me, will come out and say, Lord, I cannot stand this person. I can just say, hey, come, give this. And maybe, not you, but maybe the person just murdered my mom, you know. Of course, I forgive and all that kind of thing, go through all the whatever I need to go through, but I look at the person in the face and say, I still love you. Come, let's have coffee. And you don't bring up the thing. You know what you would do to the murderer? Can you imagine what you would do to the murderer? I killed your mom and this is how you treat me. Reconciliation happens. I can tell you stories about just a record. You know Jim Elliot? Jim Elliot was a missionary to the Yuka Indians. The Yuka Indians killed the husband. Spear. The wife went in with the help of an interpreter, and the people realized, I killed the husband, and this wife is coming to tell me the grace of God. Today, the entire village are Christians. The power of forgiveness. I think the Lord just wants us to touch on this today. So any questions? If there's certain things that you're really going through, we can talk about it. We need the Holy Spirit to help us through that. And if you have something deep in your heart for years, maybe it's time God says, let's pull it out. Let's deal with it. Put in the outbox and kick it out. Let's move on with life. All right? So that we can live for Christ. Okay, any questions? Any thoughts? Does it help? I hope you help us. I hope that God will help us to be a forgiving people because that's who Jesus is. Our church needs to be known for forgiveness personally and as a church. And I think it's not something that we trifle with, meaning that it's not something that we take it lightly, but we need to deal with it seriously. We need to admit there's a problem. We need to admit that we have problems with forgiveness, but we can come to the Savior of the world who saved us and say, Lord, you help me. And he says, I will. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let us therefore come boldly in the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and help in times of need. Okay? Any questions? Questions? Okay. So I'll just give you quickly the 3 points. Okay. Tell you what, let's wrap this up right now because of time. Keep these notes for next week. Okay? We do the three. But what I'll do is, I'd like you all to take first John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. Okay? For this week, go through this passage, John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. Go through this passage for our starting next week, okay? So that we can practice interpretation of Scripture. Then after that, we'll slowly go through the book of John on our Sunday school so that we have practice again and again in the week. Yes, sir? No, John. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. Okay? John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. That's your homework. Okay? Just practice reading the Bible and words you don't understand. Find out. No, John chapter 1. Did I say 10? 1, oh? John chapter 1. 1章第1到第5节. Okay, just for us to practice reading the verses and trying to understand and interpret it, okay? Right, all the questions you have, and we'll go through it from the first 10 minutes for next week's Sunday school. So every week we're going to do this so that we can get used to actually understanding the Scriptures. And I think God will open up so many things for us, the truth in our lives, okay? Okay? You want to read more? Go ahead. Yeah, any questions? Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the sensitive discussion we could have. And I pray especially from your word. You've taught us, Lord, your own character of forgiveness. When you were at the cross, Father, your disciples left you. The Romans crucified you. The Jews, the people that you love and came to save, murdered you. Lord, they gave reasons against why they should choose Barabbas over you. Lord, I don't know how you felt. But Lord, it's interesting in the Bible, you were willing to suffer, Lord, simply because you loved us. Lord, I just pray for one person who may be struggling with things in their lives that, Lord, only you can look deeply into. I pray that your precious word, based on Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the bones and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That, Lord, through your word, you will go very deep into those places that only you can see. And Lord, if there is the cancer of unforgiveness, if there is the pain and an infection of these serious spiritual diseases, I pray, Father, as Christians, we will be honest before you as we read thy precious word, that you would just dig it out. And by the grace of God, Lord, teach us to make the conscious decision to allow you, our physician, our spiritual doctor, to heal us. And to allow your precious word to change us, that we might live the abundant life. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Teach us, Lord, to walk by faith. Teach us to walk with you. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will right now attend to the person, Lord, who may have these things going around in their mind and their hearts. Thank you, Lord. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.